We had an eventful week this week, although as I look across the congregation, Tyler and Haley got married. Ben and Annie had Joshua. And of course, Dave and Janet just had Jonathan. I guess not just, but all these things are happening. And Phil and Susan Harrison are here. I don't know if everybody met them, but that's Ben's parents. They are... Everybody clap for it. Yeah. But as I look through my week, obviously everything's relative to, you know, everybody else's experience, but for us, it was the birthday weekend of Peyton and Bryson, so it's when all... They don't need to be... Yeah. We make Peyton earn love. And so... Yes. That was a joke. Although, forget it. Let's just move on. I don't remember what I was saying. Okay, so this week, all the family was coming over, you know, the Susan's family, my family, aunts and mostly aunts and cousins. Okay. So, of course, this was the week that the oven went out. And so it was also the week where the kids are doing the e-learning thing, so they got all the things that they have to print out, they got to hand in, and so, of course, the printer broke. And so I've spent a lot of time researching, going on the YouTube and everything, and you know me, I am not mechanical. And so I thought one thing I could do is I could handle the printer. So I looked it all up, and you guys probably, or most of you, maybe all of you, I don't know, but I was unaware that a lot of times it's just the print head to where all the ink dries, right? And so it clogs up the print head. And so they tell you all the things you got to do. And of course, these guys are geniuses on YouTube. I mean, they go on there, and of course, they probably have degrees and a lot of credentials in order to put on a YouTube video, don't you? So I'm watching this YouTube video, and so they say, you know, you take your print head out, and you rinse it out, and you know, you run water through it, and oh, I was going through all these things, and still, there's no ink coming on to the paper. So really, logically, you think that there's ink in the cartridge, it goes through the print head, and then it prints what it was meant to print, right? And I am just really getting frustrated. And so I was sitting there, and I was thinking about this, and God sort of tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Hey, Brian, a lot of times you clog up a lot of things." So I just sat there and let him continue. Yes, sin, rebellion, the things that in my natural man I do, obviously, that causes things. But he was pointing out some things that we talked about last week. We were talking about competency, not that that's evil or wrong, but when reliance on competency most of the time develops independence, right? And so the more mature we think we're getting because we're becoming more competent, if we're not careful in being connected to the Holy Spirit, that competency develops pride and arrogance. We sort of like getting some of that glory, some of that attention and focus, right? And so God's Spirit desires desperately that He wants to move through us to give a mark on our lives, obviously, but on our culture, on the people we engage. He has intended marks He wants to give by His Spirit. But oftentimes, you know, like with competency and independence and focus and taking some of that glory, it's like it's that dried ink, right? It's that dried ink in that print head. The Holy Spirit wants to flow and give the intended mark, and we're just... Now, He's going to do it around the world. His desire is that He wants to bless us in the midst of that because we're not merely print heads. I don't think I've ever been called a print head. But we're not merely equipment, right? God has such a delight in us. He loves us so desperately and so dearly that I'm going to be careful with this. We don't do things for him. That's not the primary posture he wants us to approach him in. He wants us to do things in concert with him because there's relationship there that's built. It's not merely, I'm going to go do this for God. Once again, detaching us, we're in an independent culture. We're founded on independence, and that's where we want to be driven to. But he says, no. I'm going to move through you by my Spirit. I will make the intended mark, but there is a blessing that happens in the life of somebody who relinquishes that and allows the Holy Spirit to work through. It's a blessed thing. And so, you know, last week we talked about this competence thing, where, like with Apollos and Paul, first with Apollos, the dude was competent, okay? He was doing things and people were coming. Like the Moody example, you know, these ladies come up to Moody, remember, and says, there's something missing. He goes, are you crazy? I got the biggest church in Chicago. Look at me. And they said, no, you're missing something. And when he started to feel that hunger and desire in his heart, he pursued God in that, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And so it was the same with Apollos. Apollos was doing some things, right? He was getting things done, and he was doing it with competence. But yet Priscilla and Aquila said, have you met the Holy Spirit? Have you walked through something that I think is important to you? The point is that for the Spirit to move through us, there is a stepping back almost. There's obviously not a reliance on competence or on ability or on things that God does through us. The reliance is on the person of Christ. And in the midst of that, there's a deflection of glory to him. And so we're just a pass-through. We're a conduit. Now, that is very impersonal, and that's not the way I mean it to be, because he's very personal to us. But we become that conduit, that there's a mark that is made on the world by the power of the Holy Spirit, not based on our competency. Okay? That makes sense? And so God, for multiple reasons, but God desires us not to clog it by stepping in and receiving focus, attention, and glory. He's a jealous God. But also, he has deep, passionate love for us, and he knows that's the worst thing that can happen for us, is to take glory from him. So we're in Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, starting in verse 11. So God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out. Okay, so Paul's doing some things here. I don't know if this was the first time some things like this was happening. It reminded me of when Peter was walking through the streets earlier, and his shadow was being cast upon people, and they were bringing out their sick and laying them in the street, so even Peter's shadow would come across them. Well, these things are happening, right? But it's not Paul's competency that is making these things happen. It's the power of God that is working through Paul. And we talked about last week, all those verses we picked out, that Paul was just like, it is not me, it is Jesus. And so he's constantly deflecting the glory from himself. I did not come to you with wise and persuasive words. I came to you preaching Jesus. It's Jesus and him crucified. That's it. And so God is moving through Paul beautifully to make imprints or markings on the world. And Paul is just in the midst of that. And I can see it's not about the things he's doing, It's about the love he has for Christ. And there's relationship that is continuing to be cultured there between Jesus and Paul, making him more and more, actually in Jesus' likeness, and probably making him more and more saying, it is absolutely not me. We give glory to God in this. Paul was just not an instrument. He was a redeemed child of God, having intimate relationship with Jesus in the process of God moving throughout the earth, through him. And so, going back to Acts 19, verse 13, but also some of the Jewish, you know what I'm trying to say, exorcists, who went out from place to place, attempting to name over those who had the evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. See the detachment? Do you see the trying to gain competence and focus and glory and attention apart from the person of Jesus? I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches, seven sons of one Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And the evil spirit answered and said to them, I recognize Jesus, and I know about Paul, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them and subdued all of them and overpowered them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. I actually have a group that I listen to. They're called Black Eyed Sceva. And this is actually where they get their name. Black-Eyed Sceva. These guys are running out of the house, just got the tar beat out of them, right? These guys had separated the power of God, wanting the power without the relationship, and that just is not going to happen. Because power without the relationship obviously does not put things in perspective and becomes very dangerous. And so what God is doing with us is he allows us the opportunity for his spirit to work, for us to work in conjunction with his spirit. And if it's power of raising dead, healing the sick, okay. If it is power for daily living, okay. But it is in conjunction with his Holy Spirit. And he will not lay upon us power without the relationship, because it is damaging. Obviously, it's physically damaging to these boys from the sons of Sceva. But for all of us, he will not allow us to hold the power without proportionate maturity. And you remember I said last week, when we talked about this maturity, that we think maturity is such that we gain competence and then independence. I believe spiritual competency, if I can maybe say that phrase, is driving us more to dependence. And so Jesus, his power is coming through us. We gain maturity by being more dependent upon him. Does that make sense? So God is desiring the relationship first. And so everything he does in the world is based out of a love for us. And so these guys can't, obviously, they didn't even know Jesus, it sounds like. And so the power to be released through these guys would have been damaging. Okay, back to verse 17. We see the effect or the impact of this, of God using Paul for his power to be seen in the world. This became known to all, both Jews and Greeks, who lived in Ephesus. And fear fell upon all of them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Many also of those who had believed kept coming, confessing, and disclosing their practices. And many of those who practiced magic brought their books together and began burning them in the sight of everyone. And they counted up the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord was growing mightily, and prevailing. What do you see here? As a response, as a result, even that's a little tricky. But as Paul is allowing the Holy Spirit to be flow through him without clogging, wanting the glory, saying, hey, look at my competency in this, I'm amazing. But as Paul is stepping out of the glory and God's getting the glory, guess what's happening? Jesus' name's being magnified, right? People are starting to repent and confess. Light is being exposed. These people are experiencing transformation at the deepest level. Because that's what God does. He goes to the deepest level and brings about transformation. That is the intended mark on mankind. Is when his Spirit comes, there's repentance, there's confession. There's giving. They were giving up all the things that were hindering them, burning it in everybody's eye, in everybody's sight, because things were happening in their hearts. This is what Paul, based on the desire I believe God gave him, was what he wanted to see. It wasn't primarily that people were being sick. I mean, they were taking pieces of clothing, handkerchiefs and aprons that Paul was touching or maybe were his and taking it to people, and they were being healed. Was that what the primary reason was? No. Paul's heart was desiring what God wanted. He wanted transformation. And so now people are coming, confessing, repenting, turning, and being transformed. People were starting down the path that Paul had traveled down. And now he had a deep love for Jesus. And so when he proclaimed that this was as a result of Jesus Christ, he was saying that out of a deep love and passion for Jesus. It took me back to the letter that Paul actually wrote to this church, or to the believers in Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 3. If you want to turn there, you can. Ephesians chapter 3. Start at verse 8. You get sort of a perspective of Paul's heart. You see where he is? So this is what he writes. To me, the very least of all saints, who just so happened God used to cause a great stir and heal a lot of people, but to him, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages had been hidden in God who created all things. So that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church. So that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, the very one he's performing these miracles in the name of, and whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. So Paul's saying here is, look, God's doing this. His intent is to do it through the church. His intent is to do it through every one of you who call on his name. That's what the testimonies are about. You are conduits. Jennifer, how much credit can you take for all that's happened in your family? None. I know you. Your testimony was, I want to control this. You can't. In the same breath, almost, Paul almost probably would say, I can't control. Well, he would. I can't control what happens. Someone's taking my snotty rag and go laying on somebody and he's getting healed? What is up with that? This is God's intent. This is not something that, well, I'm just going to. This is God's intent. That through the church, through Paul, through Jennifer, through every one of you, he is going to make known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places this manifold wisdom that's been hidden in the past. This thing about grace. He wants to do it through you. That there would be a mark, an intended mark on the world that God's going to make through his Holy Spirit. Now, your choice and mine is whether I'm going to step into that and clog up everything and say, well, it's for my glory. We would never say that. We would just more in line act that way. I want some intention. What focus can I have? Because it's God's intent that these happen. It's God's intent. All these testimonies that you said, it's God's intent. That's what he wants to have happen. That's his purpose. It's through you that these things happen. And here's the beautiful thing that Paul goes on to say. He doesn't say, woo, I healed some people. Wow. Look at me. I can do these amazing things because you know what? I was a Pharisee and I studied. And I worked hard. And all those things, he said, that's dung. That's trash. Comparatively speaking. To God wanting to work through me. So here's the beautiful thing he says. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches. Here's what his desire is for that church. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power so that you too can raise a car over your head. You can raise the dead and heal the sick. And that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Holy Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, here's the ultimate, I believe, for Paul, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Wow. Wow, that's power. Not that you would be able to do. God, show me your power. We want to see your glory. Is that what you want? Primarily? Let's be honest. There are so many wrong motives when we say some things like that. We got to be careful. Because what Paul says is, yeah, here's the thing. That the power of God may be seen in you, and that you, along with all the other saints, may understand and come to understand the breadth, the length, the width, the depth of the love that God has for you that surpasses all knowledge. Is God going to make his mark on the earth? He will. He wants to use the church, but he's going to make his mark. But the blessing for the church is to come to understand this love, this grace, the character of God that surpasses anything that you will ever experience or come to know in the world. That was Paul's heart. It's almost, I said some things in Sunday school class, half-baked thoughts. So I want to be careful. It's almost like it's a spiritual selfishness. You know, that God would move through me, that I would step out of the way in order to experience an encounter with this love that Paul knew. He could care probably lesser about these things that are happening. Because that's what he said. You know what? The power through the life of the believer, the blessing in that is the intimacy you develop with the Father. You know the Father whose name everything on earth drives us is meaning from? You know the Creator? You know the loving Dad? This is the power of the Holy Spirit working through you to do things, but then to experience this. What an amazing thought. What an amazing God. Let's pray. Father, your ways are so much higher than ours. Your thoughts go beyond our thoughts. It's almost comical to even say it. That we would actually, we have a tendency to, that we'd actually take any credit for anything. You deserve glory, period. You deserve to be raised, to be lifted up, to be seen, to be focused upon. God, a lot of times, half the words I say, I don't even have a grasp of the meaning. But yet, your intent is that through the church, your manifold wisdom will be made known, not only to the seen world, not only to those who don't know you, but to all the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places, the seen and unseen world. You're all created order that through this feeble and non-functioning and oftentimes rebellious vessel, you're going to make your power known. And then in the process, you teach me more about what it means to be loved by you. What it means to be your son, what it means to be your daughter, what it means to be your kids. Wow. This is a thought is too wonderful for us. I believe that all of us desire, because you've planted a desire in our hearts, to give you glory. God, I pray that you would help us in that. And so these things we say, it causes us, it warms in us a love for you, because your Spirit indwells us. We say we love you. We love you, Father. You're a good dad. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Jesus, your name has been used for the causing or for the impact and the effect of great power on this earth because of who you are. But we tenderly and with great affection pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.
The passion of the will of God in our lives is evident in this room. Let me read from Psalms 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, giving you glory and praise. I pray for each one of us this week, every day, till we meet again, to worship in spirit and truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.